Faith is giving when I don't have it. Now, giving and faith go together. And the fact is, God uses finances to test your faith. Has God ever tested your faith with finances? Oh, yeah, all the time. Have you ever had to decide between paying a bill and tithing? This is a test. It is a test of your priorities. It's a test of your love. But most important of all, it's a test of your faith.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in our series called Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots. In these lessons, we'll learn how to live a life that is deeply rooted in Christ and His Word so that we can become all God has created us to be. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's inspiring and beautifully illustrated book called The Purpose of Christmas. You can find out how by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 99000 for more information. That's the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Radical Faith.
The fourth facet of radical faith, announcing it in order to experience it. Announcing it in order to experience it. Faith is believing when I don't see it, obeying when I don't understand it, persisting when I don't feel like it, and announcing it in order to experience it. In other words, sometimes you have to say it in order to sense it. You've got to state it in order to feel it. It is the power of your words. It is speaking in faith. If you've kind of lost that love and feeling for your wife, you know how to get it back? Start saying it. Start telling your wife, I love you. Just say it. You say, I don't feel it. Don't wait till you feel it. Say it to sense it. And you start saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. You know what? The feelings will return. You want to learn to love God? You say, I don't feel like I love God. Start telling Him it. Maybe you've never said, God, I love you. Father, I love you. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, I love you. You know, if you start saying it, the feelings will come. It is the power of your words. You say it to sense it. You announce it in order to experience it. Now, that's radical faith. One of the examples of this there in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 is the illustration of Joseph. It says, it was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, confidently spoke of God bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he was so sure of it that he commanded them to carry his bones with them when they left. You know the story how Joseph got sold into slavery, went into Egypt. Things were downhill for him. Eventually, through the experiences of God, became number two in command under Pharaoh, saved the nation, saved Israel. But after that Pharaoh died, the Jews were enslaved. And for 400 years, they were enslaved in Egypt. But Joseph, long before they went back to the promised land, 400 years before, he announced, he says, I know one day God's going to let us go back home to Israel. And so I want you to promise me that I'll be dead. I want you to take my bones and bury them in Israel. What's he doing? He is stating it in advance. He is announcing it in order to experience it. In fact, this is how God creates everything. God creates by the spoken word. God created the entire universe by speaking it into existence. Let there be light. Bam, there's light. Let there be a sun and moon. Bam, there's a sun and moon. God doesn't have to go through long things. He could if he wanted to, but he could just speak it into existence. In fact, here's what the Bible says. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we see the world called into existence. God spoke it into existence, called into existence by God's word. And what we see created by what we don't see. And in Psalm 33, right underneath that on your outline, it says, for he spoke and then it came to be. Now, this is no contradiction to scientific theory. I mean, people talk about the Big Bang. Believe me, when you think God spoke the universe into existence, there was probably a Big Bang. I mean, wherever you got a creation, you got a creator. Wherever you got an effect, there is a cause. If I'm walking down the mountain and I see a rock out of place, I can say, oh, yeah, that's an accident. If I'm walking down the mountain and I see a Rolex, that is evidence of design. And it is stupidity for me to say it just all happened. That Rolex is evidence of design. You see, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It takes far more faith to believe something came out of nothing than to believe the creation was made by a creator. Far more faith. You see, we disproved spontaneous generation in the Middle Ages. Nobody believes that anymore. Things don't just come to life out of nothing. Now, if you do happen to believe that, then you need to be intellectually honest. Because if you say, I believe something could just happen out of nothing, there was no cause to it, it just happened out of nothing, then you would have obviously no problem believing that when Christ died, he could come back to life. Because it would take less faith to believe life can come back to life than to believe life came out of nothing. For intellectual honesty, you couldn't say, well, I believe in one but not the other. God spoke it into existence. And what the Bible says is that God gives us that power in our words too. We announce it in order to experience it. And the Bible makes a direct connection between your words, what you say, and the quality of the life you live. You don't realize how much your words affect you, affect everybody else, and affect the environment around you, and even history. In fact, the Bible says this on the screen, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can slice people, you can kill them with your words, you can add life and vitality with your words. You know this to be true. People today have had their lives ruined by a single sentence. Some people today are still remembering and acting on something, one sentence that was said to them by their parents or by their peers or by their partners or on the playground. And years later, one simple little sentence still haunts their memory. Their death and life is in the power of our words. You have enormous power in your words. And the Bible says faith, what you say and what you receive from God is connected. Our words and faith are together. In fact, Jesus said this here on the screen, Matthew 18:18. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the power of our words, the power of our words to bless people, or the power of our words to put them down, to curse them, the power of our words to give life or death in people's lives. Now, sometimes speaking in faith appears foolish to people of not faith, because when you're announcing it in advance, when you're announcing it in order to experience it, it looks like you don't know what you're talking about, like you're out of touch with reality, and it seems foolish to other people. For instance, God often changed people's names in the Bible to indicate where they were going, not where they were at that moment. God took a man named Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham. Now, Abraham means father of many nations. There's only one problem. Abraham had no kids. So at 99 years of age, his name is Abraham, and somebody comes and says, what's your name? Father of many nations. Oh, that's great. How many kids you got? None. How old are you? 99. Oops. It's a little embarrassing to have your name be father of many nations. You're 99 years old and no kids. What was God doing? He was announcing it in order to experience it. And the Bible says this on the back of your outline, Romans 4:11. God said, I have made you a father of many nations. God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. You see that? That's faith, friends. Faith is calling that which is not as though it is.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to our series called Radicalis. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Christmas is right around the corner. Where has the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. let us send you a hardcover copy of this inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. There are only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
The Bible says this on the back of your outline, Romans 4:11. God said, I have made you a father of many nations. God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. You see that? That's faith, friends. Faith is calling that which is not as though it is. It is announcing it in order to experience it. In fact, look at the Living Bible translation of this verse. God speaks of future events with as much certainty as though they were already past. He's announcing the future in the present as though it's past. And that's faith. Now, friends, if you want to understand your pastor, me, you need to understand that I have the gift of faith. We all have different gifts. Everybody's got different gifts. You have spiritual gifts. The people next to you have spiritual gifts. One of my spiritual gifts is faith. And I have this in a strong measure to announce it in order to experience it. I live in the world of faith, in spiritual reality. In other words, I'm always talking about what it can be, not what it is. And I'm always visualizing the future for people. Now, this is why the way I preach here at Saddleback is different than maybe you have heard from some other pastors. Sometimes you'll hear pastors say, well, I just believe in telling it like it is. Well, that's a good thing. At least it's the truth. But there's a far better way to teach than tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. Telling it like it is never changes anybody. Labeling only reinforces the present. Telling it like it could be is teaching and preaching for faith, and that causes people to change. When you label somebody and you just tell them what they are, it doesn't motivate them to change. When you tell them what they could be, that's preaching for faith. It's calling things that are not as though they were. If somebody comes to me and says, Rick, you're a lousy father. My tendency would be to say, I start thinking of all the ways I could have been a better father. Well, I could have done that, and I could have done that, and I could have done that, and I could. Yeah, and I just, you're right, I'm a lousy father. I could have been a better father. That doesn't change me. But if somebody comes to me and says, Rick, I see in you the potential to be a great father, a great dad. I see in you with your life committed to Christ and God's Spirit living in you, you could be an incredible godly man. You could be a man of God that your kids would love and honor and that your wife would cherish. You could be the kind of godly man that the neighborhood and community would respect. And I see in you that spark, that potential, if you'll just let Christ control your life, that motivates me to change. Tell it like it could be, not the way. Does nagging work? Has it ever worked on you, nagging? No. It doesn't work from the pulpit either. That's why I don't nag you every week. That's why I don't get up here every week and do sin of the week. You're blowing this, you're doing this, you're doing. And there's a lot of stuff I could say about you, really. But I don't. Because why? Just telling you all the things you're doing wrong. Hey, come back next week and I'll tell you 10 more things you're doing wrong. Woohoo! Yeah! In fact, bring a friend. You don't get that kind of teaching at Saddleback. Why? It doesn't change anybody. It is faith that wells up in our heart that changes us. Not telling it like it is, but telling it like it could be. And doing it the way God says, calling things that are not as though they were. When I was held the very first service of Saddleback, and 60 people, little trial run service before Easter, And I got up and I read a vision called the Saddleback Vision. Some of you have seen that statement, where I outlined the kind of campus we would have and what the buildings would look like, and that we were going to have 20,000 members by 2020, and that we would have 50 acres of land. And everybody had a good laugh. Oh, yeah, 50 acres of land, right, in Orange County. Who has ever bought 50 acres of land? And everybody laughed. Oh, yeah, who is this 25-year-old kid who's saying we're going to one day have 50 acres and 20,000 members? The only problem with that vision, it was too small. This, by the way, is how we're saved, by speaking in advance our salvation, by confessing our faith in Christ. That's announcing in advance. Look at this verse. The Bible says, for it is by our faith that we're put right with God. It is by our confession, that means we speak it, that we are saved. Which, by the way, is why I lead in a prayer every week at the end of the service. And I say, I want you to pray this prayer. Why? I'm causing you to speak, to confess your faith. I'm helping verbalize for you your faith in God. That's why we always have a prayer. And at the end of this prayer, if you've never invited Christ in your life, I'm going to invite you to do that, to follow me in that prayer. And when we're baptized, we're publicly confessing our faith, saying to the world, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a believer. Faith is announcing it in order to experience it. Let me give you another facet of radical faith. Number five, faith is giving when I don't have it. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Now, giving and faith go together. And the fact is, God uses finances to test your faith. Has God ever tested your faith with finances? Oh, yeah, all the time. Have you ever had to decide between paying a bill and tithing? This is a test. It is a test of your priorities. It's a test of your love. But most important of all, it's a test of your faith. Do I really trust God that He will provide for me if I put Him first in my life? I've got to pay a bill and give my tithe. Which am I going to do? Do I really trust God? And money, many times, is the acid test. Now, it's interesting that in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame, the first guy who gets mentioned is a guy named Abel. Anybody remember Abel? Cain and Abel? They're the two sons of Adam and Eve. What did Abel do that caused him to get into the Hall of Fame with Moses and Abraham and all these other big shots? He never did anything great. He never accomplished anything, never took any major risks. You know what made Abel great? He gave an offering in faith. Look at what the Bible says. It says, it was faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. This guy didn't do anything flashy or fancy or risky. He just gave an offering. But notice, he's listed not because of what he gave. It wasn't what he gave that pleased God, but how he gave it. Let me say it again. It's not what you give that pleases God. It's how you give it. It says he gave it in faith. Now listen very closely to your pastor who loves you. God couldn't care less about the amount you give. What he cares about is the attitude with which you give it. It is not the amount that matters. It is the attitude with which you give it. You must always give in faith. And if you're not giving in faith, friend, don't give, because you don't get any credit for it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you're not giving in faith, forget it. God doesn't need your money. What he wants is your heart. He wants your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God says, I'm not looking at the amount. In fact, God didn't look at the amount. He looks at the amount you have left over. In other words, how much you gave in light of what you could have given. See, for somebody to give 50 cents might be a bigger sacrifice than somebody gave 50,000. Because he looks at what you have left over. Are you giving in faith? You can give by reason, or you can give by revelation. These are the two ways you can give. To give by reason is to figure out reasonably what I think I can give. And I sit down and I figure a reasonable amount. I say, this is what I think I can afford to give. And so I give by reason. Now, giving by reason doesn't require any faith at all. An atheist can do it. You just figure out, well, I think I could give this much, and I give. The other way is to give by revelation. And that means I let God reveal to me what he wants me to give in faith. And I stop and I pray and I ask, I say, God, How much do you want to give through me? I'm the straw. How much do you want to give through me? This is a test of faith. I say, God, how much do you want me to trust you for this time? This time. And this is giving when you don't have it. This is when it stretches your faith. How much do you want to give through me? Not reasonable amount, but by revelation. In the Bible, there was a group in an area of Greece called Macedonia. That's where Alexander the Great came from, Macedonia. And the Macedonian church was an extremely impoverished, poor church. And yet when they heard that the church at Jerusalem needed help, they gave a sacrificial gift to help that church when they didn't have any money themselves. And Paul says this about them. They're on your outline. He says, because of their great joy, not because of their guilt, because of their great joy, they gave even more than they could afford. How do you give even more than you can afford? Given when you don't have it. I'll never forget years ago when an Orange County executive, very well known, a business executive told me, he said, Rick, you need to tell people, business people, the best time to start tithing is when they're in trouble, when they're in debt, when the business is tanking, because that's when you need God's help. Whatever you want God to bless, you put him first in. He said, now, if you give when things are going great, well, so what? That's great. But the best time, he says, to tithe, to be faithful, to give, is when things aren't going well because you need God's help. Now, most of you know my story. I don't need to go into that again. Kay and I decided when we first got married, we said, if anybody gets paid, God gets paid first. We may be in debt to other people. We're not going to be in debt to God. And so if Bill doesn't get paid, it's not going to be my tithe. God gets paid first because it all came from him. And I'll be honest with you. Many times over the last 35 years, there's sometimes the cupboards were quite bare. And the first thought was, we can't afford to give. We can't afford to tithe. Then the second thought was, we can't afford not to. I need God's help. I need God's blessing. And we've learned that when we give, not by reason, but by revelation, in faith, God always, the money always arrives in time, and we end up with more than we started. I could give you 1,000 stories of this.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again and to find out more about this ministry, or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Wow, Christmas is right around the corner. Where has this year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. And that's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
You know, this month on Daily Hope, we're offering to send you a special copy of my book called The Purpose of Christmas. I wrote this book to help you come to a deeper understanding of God's love for you by explaining the three purposes of Christmas that were announced by the angel at the birth of Jesus. The angel announced a time of celebration. I bring you good news of great joy. Salvation, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And reconciliation, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I'll send you the hardback edition of this book, The Purpose of Christmas, with the color illustrations as our special thank you for your gift of support to Daily Hope Ministries. Daily Hope is a 100% listener-supported ministry, so if you can help us continue to spread the good news through this broadcast, I'd appreciate any gift that you can send this Christmas. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Let us send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas, by Rick Warren. It's our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope, and we're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.